The scriptures say, whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Proverbs 11:25. It tells you the condition for getting watered is watering. The condition for being enriched is the bringing of a blessing. Those are the conditions. The conditions are not that you give to a kind of people. When you look at Isaiah 32 verse 6, for the fool speaks folly and his heart is busy with iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error concerning the Lord, to leave the craving of the hungry unsatisfied and to deprive the thirsty of drink. Anytime you're acting differently from that, what are you doing? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2, for in a severe test of affliction, take note of the churches of Philippi, Macedonia. In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. This is a combination of events in their life. A severe test of affliction was happening. Extreme poverty was happening. But they had an abundance of joy in that. Things that seem incompatible, but is real when we walk with the Lord. This, their extreme poverty, combined with an abundance of joy and a severe test of affliction, overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. This is extreme poverty overflowing in a wealth of generosity. We know, of course, you can't give too much if you're extremely poor. But remember how the Lord judges this. That's found in the book of Mark chapter 12 verse 42 to 44 and Luke 21, where the Lord Jesus points out the story of the widow woman who gave all she had and had nothing left. And he said that she gave the most. She gave the most. Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 8, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They heard they were relieving the saints, I suppose, in Jerusalem, and they insisted that they wanted to be part of it. From their deep poverty, they made a choice. This is a chance to bless. This is an open door to support. We will be part of it. They begged earnestly because they did not want to receive it. They say, no, Abba, no, things are too hard. They say, no, this is an open door. This is a chance to give. This is a chance to support needy saints. We've noted the conditions. Extreme poverty, like the widow woman with two mites, was equal to a wealth of generosity, which is a lot, because God looks at what you have left, and that's how God measures it. Then he tells you they gave according to their means, which is the standard God says, and beyond their means, which is not a standard God demands. They went beyond the call of duty. Duty is to give according to your means, according to your ability, which you see further down. But they gave beyond it. And then, how were they able to do this? And what did they give towards? The relief of the saints. He calls it the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. You are doing yourself a favor when you relieve the saints of God. And not as they expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. How do you give best to the Lord? Give yourself. This is why I taught you guys to give yourselves to the Lord. It is you given to the Lord that will result in you being able to give to the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord first, completely, to the kingdom. Then you will be able to give according to your means and beyond it. Now, we are instructed to excel in this grace also in verse 7, and it's not a command. The Lord Jesus is the example. He was rich, but he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And what should you do when you're rich? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and everybody prays and says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He has the grace in verse 9 of being rich and becoming poor for the sake of others. Therefore, you become rich. And what should you do immediately with that? Become poor. How? By enriching others. This is the way of God. When you jump down to verse 13, first verse 12, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. I don't want others to be eased and you burdened. Let it be a matter of fairness. Your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that they may be fairness. And he went on. I'm taking you to chapter 9. Now watch this from verse 6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This immediately conveys to you the knowledge that what I've discussed so far and what will be discussed is a matter of sowing. So the concept of seed sowing is under discussion. Don't separate it from giving. It's the same thing. We are discussing sowing. We already began in chapter 8. We are continuing in chapter 9. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Seed sown is shown in your ability to abound in every good work. God's grace abounding to you, that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ abounding to you, results in you having sufficiency. Question: did the Macedonians have sufficiency? What they had was sufficient according to their ability, according to their means. They gave according to that. In all things at all times, God is able to make you have all sufficiency in all things at all times. That means, child of God, that typically if you're working hard and faithful in what you do, whatever you do have to give is enough. It will be sufficient. I'm going to clarify. When this ministry began in its second phase in 2016 and I had no job, I would strive to share what little food I had with those who came around for church meetings sometimes, or just came around, or were there after the church meeting, or came earlier before the church meeting, or were around. And since it was in my house, I would strive to share what I had. I would share of the soup we had, of the rice, of the food, the actual food, or snacks, or whatever. Things were very tough. The soup would be very watery many times. The piece of meat inside would be very tiny, you know, and so on. All those things happen, but look at what the scripture says, that you have all sufficiency in all things at all times. God is able to make all grace abound to you. So the point is that was me having all sufficiency. For something to be sufficient does not mean excessive. It means enough. And as I've shared in times past, we were never hungry. Like our tummies were never empty. We were not hungry. We had sufficient. I didn't say we had luxurious. We didn't have extravagant. But we had sufficient. Hunger pangs were not gripping us. God provides what is sufficient. So no matter how much we shared what we had, no matter how crazy and irresponsible my behavior and that of my household seemed in sharing what we had, God's grace is what abounds to keep us, so we may abound in every good work. Are you understanding? Every good work. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that you should be perfect by doing good works as your Father in heaven is, that when they behold your good works, they will glorify God who is in heaven. So good works, actions, are expressed in giving of what you have. But remember, it is not you that is doing this. It's God making his grace abound to you. And the purpose of his grace abounding to you is for sufficiency, so you may abound in every good work. This is the purpose of all grace abounding to you. This is always the purpose. So you can abound in good works. We made all grace available. You are to abound in every good work. And he expounds it by sending us further down into scripture in the book of Psalm 112, verse 9. But I'm reading in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9. He's quoting, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He has distributed freely. Who did he give to? The poor. His righteousness endures forever. We know the book of Proverbs says that if you give to the rich, that you will be poor. But we read here that the Lord Jesus' grace makes you rich. Remember, not poor. But Proverbs 22 verse 16 says in the second half, whoever gives to the rich will only come to poverty. So this makes you poor. It does not make you rich. Now back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You distribute freely, you give to the poor. your righteousness endures forever. You're doing the right thing endures forever. And then verse 10 says, he who supplied seed to the sower, we've already seen who the sower is, it's the same guy all grace is abounding to. That seed you give to the poor, it's obvious who we give to. It's obvious what sowing is, who the sower is. It's the person, it's the guys in Macedonia who were poor and who took it and gave to the needy elsewhere. Those are the sowers. He supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. That seed from the sower is bread for food to the eater. But also whatever the sower eats is bread for food. Now this one who supplies, who is it that supplies? It is God who supplies it. He who supplies seed to the sower. So that's why it was given in the first place. It was seed for you to sow. You sow by giving it. And he told in verse 6, you shouldn't sow sparingly. He told you what will happen if you sow sparingly, and he told you what happens if you sow bountifully. And you're encouraged to sow bountifully according to your means, as chapter 8 says. And then it says that he will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. The harvest of your righteousness is bread for eating too, okay? But you know very well that harvest is also the seed, right? You now decide how much of it is bread and how much is seed again. But remember, he will multiply your seed for sowing. So what does he multiply? Seed for sowing. Who did we sow it to? Who did the Macedonians sow it to? The poor, the needy. That's who they sowed it to. We don't see any other context. We cannot create these things. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity. He makes it clear as to why you're being enriched. Because you are generous, not to the rich, but to the poor, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. In case you're not still convinced, it's to the poor. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, not the wants of the rich, the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. How many thanksgivings flow out to God when you give to the rich? Do you understand this? But when goodness overflows to needy people, it's supplying the needs of the saints. This is where your money is to go. Automatically, thanksgiving rises to God. Just like the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, that men will behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Rich people don't behold. They don't see it. They are swimming in luxury already. They barely notice. Many times even despise it. So it might result in grumbling. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel. You submitted to God. It flowed from the fact that you confessed the gospel of Christ. And the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. So it's your generosity arising from your contributions for them and all others. That thanksgiving is what the Lord receives, because money does not leave the earth. The money, the provision, the resources go to humans. Saints, these are the children of God, needy saints. These are not comfortable preachers. The focus of giving in the body of Christ is to needy saints. The emphasis of our contribution helps them. Two people receive from it at the minimum, but three, clearly. One, the saints that received it, God who is glorified, and the sower who has his seed multiplied. So even that thing you now get as a result of your generosity is so that there will be more seed and there will be more harvest. So this is the truth I want us to carry. At the end of 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15 says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. After talking about us giving, he now says you should thank God for his inexpressible gift. We believe that should be the Lord Jesus primarily, but also it's the grace of God. Verse 14, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. What's the surpassing grace? He began in chapter 8 to lay it out. The grace of giving and all the different graces of our Lord and our God. That grace, and he's thanking God. The gift of grace enables people to give. which results in thanksgiving and more seed for the giver. This is the will of God, and this is God's desire. Our hearts should always be intent on pleasing God. Give for love. Do not give for rising purposes. Do not give for that. Your intentions are impure. I have shown you from scripture that God will enrich you in every way. I've shown you that God will supply more seed and increase your seed for sowing and your harvest of righteousness when you give to the poor. I have shown it to you. Do not go with feelings and do not go with stories. You must go with the truth. On the day of judgment, these words will judge us.